If you'd like to turn with me in the scriptures to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it's page 1163 of the Pew Bibles, page 1163, chapter 9, and verses 6 to 15. So I mentioned last week chapters 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians are chapters in which Paul really looks at this whole theme of Christian giving. And we looked at the first part of that last week, and we come on to look at the second part of it now this week. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 15, this is God's word. Remember this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So a fellow walks into his dad and he says, "Dad, can I borrow a tenner? £7, son, what do you want a fiver for?" Doesn't get any better with the telling, that one, really, does it? But, you know, which of you, if your son asks you for toast, would give him a brick? Or if your daughter asks you for a fish, would give her a snake? God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Why should Christians give generously? That's really the question we want to answer from this passage today. Why should Christians give generously? And I want to draw out six reasons from this passage why Christians should be generous. They're not all of equal length, so don't panic. Why should Christians give generously? Christians should give generously because God loves a cheerful giver. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Giving, as RVG Tasker says, giving must be free and deliberate, not compulsory or casual. It's not meant to be under compulsion. Ours is meant to be a ready response, not a reluctant response. Giving that comes from the heart. Paul encourages generosity, but he encourages planned and willing generosity. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. But then what are our motives for giving? You know, if we examine them, there are all kinds of negative motives why we give. Guilt is one. Paying money rather than doing or serving or going is another. It can be easier to throw money at something rather than actually go and give ourselves to it. You know, and in this sense, the motive of our giving should be, it feels a wee bit like paying off God. You know, well, I'll give a few bob to it and that'll suffice. Or what about the motive of feeling justified? you know, giving so that, you know, I've paid in for many long years, so actually God really owes me something in return? Or what about the motive of giving so that it makes me a shareholder in the church, having a stake in the church, and I get to say what goes? There are all kinds of various faulty motives for giving, but only an appreciation of God's grace in Jesus Christ can prompt us to give cheerfully. God cheerfully, gladly, willingly gave his one and only Son so that we might know him, so that we might have the hope of heaven. And we should give, therefore, what we have decided to give gladly, freely, because God loves a cheerful giver. It's following the model of God's giving of Christ to us. And let me just comment on the free will offering scheme that we and the whole Presbyterian Church operates. It's a useful tool. It has its faults and its flaws and so on, but having a free will offering scheme helps us to think about what we give. And it also helps us to give regularly if we use it in that way and use it right. And it also helps to preserve confidentiality. One of the things I've maybe noticed a wee bit more of the years, and maybe if I can say it graciously to the maybe younger generation, is that giving can quite often just be a spontaneous thing, an ad hoc thing. It's, you know, I don't really think about it. It's what I happen to have, or if I don't have anything, I don't give anything. It isn't really planned. It isn't really thought about. It isn't really purposeful. And that's the exact opposite of what Scripture is saying here. And the free will offering scheme helps with that. Because our giving is meant to be planned. It's meant to be purposeful. It's meant to be proportionate according to our means, as we were saying last week. And it's meant to be generous. What is in our heart to give? Giving generously. Those who sow sparingly will also reap sparingly. So everyone should give what they have decided in their heart to give. So it requires thoughtfulness as well as generosity. So Christians should give generously because God loves a cheerful giver, a happy giver, someone who's thought about it, planned it, who knows what they're able to give from their means, not what they don't have, and they give it gladly, not reluctantly, readily. Christians should give generously because God supplies our needs, so we can supply others' needs. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work, as it is written, and this is taken from Psalm 112, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. All our resources ultimately, you see, come from God. Remember what David said in the call to worship that I read in 1 Chronicles? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. And this prayer was written in the context of the people's giving of gold and silver in order to be able to build the temple, which Solomon then was the one who took and built. How are we able to give this generously? To this work, David asks, and he said, only because you have generously given to us. All our resources ultimately come from God, and God is able to increase our resources. Remember how he took a simple packed lunch and fed 5,000 people? On another occasion, 4,000 people. Remember the widow's oil and flour that didn't run out for 3 years and helped to feed Elijah during a drought and famine? If we have a heart to give, God will give us the means to give. When we were as a family at Northumbria Bible College in 1988-89, we had to live largely by faith that year. We knew where half of each term's fees to pay for me were coming from, but we didn't know where the other half were Anne's fees or the kids' fees for the creche, or were petrol money or rent money or food money. We didn't know where any of that was coming from at all. And yet within a month of finishing that year at Bible College, we had paid all our debts and we didn't owe anybody anything. And we were also able to give a tenth of our money throughout that year as well. God was very good and very gracious to us, and it taught us a lot about giving to others as well as receiving. And during that year, at one point, we had saved up part of our tithe to to give to others. And nobody, none of the students really went around broadcasting what their needs were. And we felt we should give it to another student in the college. We had heard a rumour about this particular girl that she might have financial difficulties. We didn't know. We didn't really know her well. We'd never really spoken much to her. But we went one day and gave her an envelope and said, "Just, you know, we just believe the Lord is wanting us to give this to you." And she was completely bowled over. And apparently it made the difference really between keeping her head above water or going under financially. God is able to bless you abundantly. And that doesn't mean that we will therefore be more wealthy. But in all things, at all times, having all we need, that we will have sufficient, we'll have what we need. And Paul says that by God's grace, we will have all we need so that we will be able to meet the demands of generosity in meeting the needs of others and to meet the needs of the kingdom, that we will abound in every good work. And this reference to Psalm 112 here is really an Old Testament backing up that the righteous person who desires to show righteousness in giving, that God will not hold them short, that they will not lack the means to give. So in other words, if you have a heart to give, God will give you the means to give so that you can give according to your means. If you have a heart to give, God will give you the means to give so that you can give according to your means. Christians should give generously because God loves a cheerful giver. God supplies all our needs so we can supply the needs of others. And thirdly, Christians should give generously because through generosity, God will bless us with righteousness. Verse 10 there. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Now, this is the exact opposite of prosperity doctrine. Some of you may be aware of that doctrine today. But the basic idea behind prosperity doctrine is really saying, you know, God wants to bless his people. God wants to bless you. And if you have not, it's because you ask not. You know, basically it's saying that God wants to bless us materially and all we have to do is ask. You want a bigger house, a better car, you don't have it because you don't ask God in faith. Personally, I find that an absolute affront to our brothers and sisters in Africa and Burkina Faso for whom Robert was praying there. It seems to me that it's a doctrine that has been tailored to meet the middle class West. And it's taking the material blessings promised in the Old Testament to a physical nation and applying them to the universal church of today. But what God promises here is to enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. What are the blessings that God has lavished on us? Well, Paul tells the Ephesians in chapter 1. In Christ Jesus, we have redemption through his blood. We have forgiveness of sins. We have these in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he has lavished upon us. And the riches he prays the Colossians may receive are these, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. He supplies us with sufficient to live and sufficient to give, and he will bless us in righteousness as we follow his lead as generous givers. He doesn't promise that we will be wealthy. He doesn't promise that we will have more than we need. Christians should give generously because God loves a cheerful giver, because God supplies our needs so we can supply others' needs. Through generosity, God will bless us with righteousness. And fourthly, Christians should give generously because generosity brings thanksgiving to God. You'll be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. The ultimate goal, you see folks, the ultimate goal of all Christian work and all Christian service is to bring honour and glory to God. The grace of giving is ultimately for the glory of God. We, as we said last week, we worship God with our offering. And through our giving, we seek to build his kingdom, to build his church, to make the name of Jesus known, to continue the works that Jesus did while he was on earth, to feed the hungry, to give sight to the blind, help the lame to walk, proclaim freedom for the captives. And as a consequence of God's provision for believers and our righteous generosity, then the needs of the poor will be satisfied. People will be brought to faith in Jesus Christ. People will encounter the Word. They will be welcomed into Christ's church. They will engage in worship, and they themselves will witness to God's goodness through thanksgiving. Is this not what the church is about? I mentioned right at the beginning of the new year, my first sermon of the new year, that when it comes to the decision that with regard to the building proposal here at Legacurry, and that's what the meeting on Monday the 27th of February is about. We need to, whatever decision we make as a congregation, we need to make that decision on the basis of kingdom principles, not on the basis of buildings and not on the basis of money, on the basis of kingdom principles. We need to ask ourselves, will this help us to do more kingdom work in this area and further afield? Will this help us to do the work we're doing and do it better? Will it provide more opportunities for the generations to come in this place to reach out with the love and compassion of Jesus? And if you come to a conclusion that yes, it will, then you make your decision on kingdom principles. And if you come to the decision, no, it won't, you make your decision on kingdom principles. It can't be about buildings. Buildings are only here to help us further the work of the kingdom of God. So, folks, let me encourage you. Let me appeal to you. Let me plead with you. Let me urge you with everything that I have to come here on the 27th of February. This is not about session and committee. This is about all of us. This is about one of the biggest decisions that this congregation in its long history will ever make. And we're all part of that. And whether you decide yea or nay, let us make that decision in kingdom principles. Generosity brings thanksgiving to God because of the ultimate goal of building his kingdom. Our ultimate goal is to build the kingdom of God, to bring glory of God, to bring glory to God that enables Legacurry Presbyterian Church to act in God's word in welcoming, worshipping, and witnessing, so that your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Our desire is that people will be won for Christ, brought to him, worship him, engage with his word, become witnesses themselves. That's what we're about. That's what we're about. Fifthly, generosity. Christians should give generously because generosity is a witness to the gospel. It will become clear to those receiving the Corinthians gifts, those in Jerusalem, that they had been given these gifts in response to the gospel. Giving because Christ first gave to them. Who are these white people who have travelled so far to drill a well in Africa? And why have they come here? Well, they have come because they are paying, and they've come and they're paying for this well because of the love of Jesus. Jesus cared for them and gave himself for them, and they want to show that Jesus cares for you too and loves you too. To be honest, we would drill the well anyway, because these are people created in the image of Jesus Christ and because they need water. But our prayer is that with the water for life, that they will also ask about the water of life, that their spiritual thirst will be quenched and that they will come to praise the living God. Paul writes, because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel. Giving and giving generously is an expression of our confession of the gospel. And for your generosity in sharing with them and everyone else. We give of our time, we give of our energies, we give of our gifts, and we give of our money as a response to the gospel and confession of the gospel. We give because Christ first gave to us. Why should Christians give generously? Because God loves a cheerful giver. Because God supplies all our needs so that we can help supply the needs of others. Because through generosity, God will bless us with righteousness. Because generosity leads to thanksgiving to God. Because generosity is a witness to the gospel. And finally, because generosity promotes a bond of affection. One of the things we've learned over the years is the bond of affection that has grown up between us and our brothers and sisters in Burkina Faso. And the Morales in Peru, and Brian and Maria Liggett in South Africa, and some of the ones who visited us from there, and Mikhail Koval and his church in Siberia, and he's now in the States. And I trust there's that same bond of affection with those who serve in the Blue Houses in Ballysillan, and with Jackie Burke, and with Exodus, and other work and people that we've served and supported over the years. I hope there's also a bond of affection with the wider community for whom we provide table tennis club and bowls and BB and GB and Netwise and a variety of other activities. In giving generously, we never want anyone to be beholden to us. That's not why we give. You others should never feel a debt to us because we have given to them, but rather bonds of affection. A sense of fellowship, a sense of sharing in the partnership and the work of the gospel, all to thanksgiving and the praise of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in their prayers for you, Paul writes, and in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Right. And then right at the end of these two chapters on giving, Paul returns again to the crux of it all. The center point, the motive and model for all Christian giving, and that is the self-giving of God. He finishes off in verse 15, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." Now there's differing understandings of what Paul actually means here. Some think he could be referring to the indescribable gift of the Corinthians' giving. That, in a sense, would fit with the whole context of the chapter. But as he so often does, he has just returned to talking about the surpassing grace that has been given to the Corinthians. And as he so often does in other points, his thoughts bring them back again to Christ. And I believe that that's what he's doing here. He's bringing them back to the Lord Jesus Christ, who, though he was rich, yet for your sake became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. Generosity in response to grace. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Paul Barnett writes, "God's grace towards us reproduces his graciousness in us." God's grace towards us reproduces his graciousness in us. The divine gift which inspires all gifts, the gift of God's own Son. And so we say in word and in action and in giving, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Ultimately, Christians give generously because God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. So what should my giving look like? Surely it should look like this. Where the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all.